gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere, stephaniemiller.com, the website. You can email us all there, executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Our guest today on the Celebrity Hotline, the Reverend Jim Wallace, author of God's Politics, Representative Elliot Engel, Democrat of the great state of New York, and live in the studio for the entire Hour 3, Hal Sparks,
that's
comedian
right.
extraordinaire.
He's got a couple of comedy dates cool. coming up.
He does comedy. That's the funny kind of comedy.
Yes.
As we all know, the top story, Senator Arlen Specter yesterday.
I have found myself increasingly at odds with the Republican philosophy and more in line with the philosophy of the Democratic Party.
Woohoo! Where's my... Here we go. Woohoo! Smoke if you got it. I'm down in front. Norm Coleman coming through. 60 votes in the Senate, ladies and gentlemen. Up your bottom.
Well...
All right.
Yeah, Specter said he's not a guaranteed 60th vote.
No.
He's going to vote the same way he did before.
That will to be determined. The other big story, of course, Dr. Happy, the acting CDC director yesterday.
As this moves forward, I fully expect that we will see deaths from this infection.
Great.
They're seeing many deaths in Mexico.
And we've had our first American death confirmed this morning from the swine flu. It was a baby in Texas.
All right. Wow. So lots of stuff to get to today. But you know what? Let's take a moment to celebrate Arlen Specter becoming a Democrat yesterday.
Arlen Specter is now the Democratic senator from Pennsylvania.
Senator Arlen Specter, longtime Republican, said he will and is becoming a Democrat.
Found myself increasingly at odds with the Republican philosophy and more in line with the philosophy of the Democratic Party.
We're thrilled to have you. That's what President Obama said.
Once Al Franken is finally seated, he will become the 60th senator caucus with the Democrats, the filibuster-proof majority, and that may be only the start of the ramifications.
This was simply nothing more, nothing less than political self-preservation.
This is not a national story. This is a Pennsylvania story.
Yeah, right.
That was the most entertaining part, the sputtering on the right.
Yeah.
I couldn't tune into the drug addict gas bag fast enough.
Ladies and gentlemen, he's a star. That's what he is. That's really what all the stuff wants to be with in the celebrity.
Andy caused the swine flu.
Did he?
No.
All right. Apparently.
Rush Limbaugh's blaming everyone else for the swine flu. Might as well blame Specter. We'll get to that later.
Yes, we'll get to all of that.
He is a swine, my friends, and therefore is the cause of the swine flu. I've been throwing up ever since I heard the news, my friends.
Well, it's more likely because noted scientist Michelle Bachmann explained that it tends to happen more in Democratic.
Which is, except that, except, yeah. If Gerald Ford was a Democrat, maybe she might have a point, but was, that whole vaccine push
one of the
was...
big scientific thinkers of our day. That crazy
viruses are natural, so they can't hurt you. It's obvious.
Wow. Okay.
Viruses are natural. I'll give her that.
Let's check some news we don't want to lose, shall we, kids? Here we go.
Yippee. It's time for stand-up news. And now, here's anchorperson Stephanie Miller.
Thank you. When news breaks here at Stays Broken, our top story, of course, veteran Senator Arlen Specter says his switch to the Democratic Party was a painful decision, but he found himself increasingly at odds with a Republican Party that has moved to the right. Speaking to reporters yesterday, he said his philosophy was more in line with the Democratic Party. He said in the last few months he surveyed the sentiments of the GOP and found prospects for winning next year's primary look bleak. Specter faced a tough challenge from former GOP foe Pat Toomey. We have Specter's thoughts.
I have searched my heart in depth for many, many hours and days before I came to my decision to switch parties. My conscience spoke to me. And by my conscience, I mean polling numbers for Republicans that make Typhoid Mary look like the prom queen. I fear the Republican Party has left me behind in its swing to the right. They're even crazier than me. Therefore, it is incumbent upon me to join the Democrats so that I might turn them into the Republicans I so want them to be. I remain a man of principle, even as I can the party I've been a part of since the last time I jumped ship to take advantage of the prevailing political wind in 1965. The Democrats were almost as icky then as the Republicans are now, and sure glad I wiped them off my shoes when I did. But after decades of riding the expediency gravy train, I'm taking the only right course of action there is left. To ensure I get elected again. My bedrock core values of doing what's necessary for my own political survival compel me to take the step I took today. But even that compulsion, that moral imperative, the necessity of putting my political welfare first, will not sway me from my basic set of principles, if I had any. No, not for me, the actual philosophy of the Democratic Party, where the little guy has his spokesman. Not for me, the Democratic insistence of fairness and dignity for the least of us. Not for me, the ooey-gooey Democratic ideal of equality of opportunity. No, even while I change all my office stationery, I'll be joining my whole buddy Joe Lieberman in bending the Democrats over. A new day has dawned, Democrats. Never fear, Ireland's here.
I feel electrified already as a party.
Yeah.
Here's the good news for us. Jim does a rock and roll inspector.
Yes,
come on.
He always
has. We don't even need to play the soundbite.
Yeah.
All right. And finally, we broke this news yesterday on the Stephanie Miller Science Stack newscast thing.
Whatever.
That we do. Viagra Rival can be rubbed directly into the skin.
Yay. I think. Into the skin that is necessary.
Right.
That, yes. Wow.
Enough rubbing. You might not even need a Viagra-type substance.
So does this replace Astroglide?
No, it enhances it.
Oh, okay.
No, it's not just lube. The new treatment would likely have fewer side effects than Viagra, which is taken orally and has been shown to cause headaches.
Of course, if it rubs off on the lady parts, it might be the law of diminishing returns.
Oh, dear.
Scientists in the U.S. have successfully tested the new technique, which involves tiny objects called nanoparticles, which probably just make it look bigger. So right away, he's excited.
Next to the nanoparticles,
yeah,
sure.
I don't think I want something called a nanoparticle anywhere near down there.
They have tested it on rats and believe it could also be used to help humans.
There's a great job.
There's a job. What do? I rub stuff on a rat.
Is that what it sounds like, Jim?
We speculated yesterday that perhaps the minivans, that's a job for minivans, we're not sure. Of the 7 rats treated at the Albert Einstein College of Medicine in New York, 5 showed signs of arousal.
They put my name on that? Hoy. Such a shanda.
What do we have?
Rubbing rat schmeckles.
We have a scientist in 2012.
Yeah, the Surgeon General. Urology convention.
Yeah.
In the never-ending battle against the scourge of erectile dysfunction, we recently scored a breakthrough with the use of nanoparticles that could be used to carry a medication that can be rubbed directly on the skin. The joy with which this was received is matched only by the alacrity with which it was brought to market. Everything seemed to be fine until the old adage, be careful what you wish for, you just might get it, showed its wisdom once again. It wasn't long before single men were using the lotion for a little solo joyriding to catapult the ecstasy. All well and good until it was discovered the residue on the self-abuser's hands stayed effective for hours afterward. If he wiped his mouth, he ended up with lips a grouper. Grouper? Grouper? What kind? How do you think it's a fish with the big lips?
Grouper.
Grouper. Or a groupie for Mick Jagger. Same thing.
Uh-huh. Okay.
If he scratched his ears, he might end up tripping over his earlobes. And the sight of young couples leaving movie theaters with a girl listing to port or starboard with one breast the size of an avocado and the other big enough to float a hovercraft was something the general public just did not want to see on a Saturday night. But the real tragedy was the black market stuff, concentrated and refined to the nth degree. Yes, it was fast and effective and increased sensitivity 1,000-fold, but the epidemic of penises exploding from the internal pressure was horrific. Adolescent boys and middle-aged men by the tens of thousands gave new meaning to the phrase pop shot. Fortunately, the Darwin effect came into play, and those smart enough to learn the lesson before it was too late survived, and those that didn't get to reproduce. But take this lesson with you. If something is just too swelled to be true, it won't be for long. Oh, boy. I hate to see that.
That's all for stand-up news. I'm here all week. Tell your friends if you'd like more Jim Ward, Paul Rawl.
Check out Jim Ward's Apocryphal But True. There's a tile ad on the Stephanie Miller website, stephaniemiller.com. Take it right there. And when you buy the album, you get the extended EP dance mix version of It's a Wonderful Life starring George Bush. for the very last time.
Oh, thank God. Anne-Marie in St. Paul, Minnesota, on Democratic Senator Arlen Specter. Hello, Anne-Marie.
Good morning. Hey, listen, I was wondering if there's been, like, in the last 20, 30 years, someone major, significant, that switched from Democrat to Republican. You know, I know Norm Coleman used to be a Democrat, like, a long time ago.
There were a few of them in the mid-90s that jumped
in. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Right. I'm trying to think of who was the... Jim
Jeffords.
Richard Shelby became a Republican in 94, I think.
Yeah, okay. Something like that. All right. But anyway, this definitely raises the stakes in your state, Anne-Marie.
Oh,
and the
absolutely.
Franken race. So that that means Coleman will, if there was a chance that he could litigate this longer, I think it just got better.
I think so. I think there's a very strong chance that this, you know, gets cut short. So.
I hope so, but I think it's going to be the opposite, don't you? That now the Republicans are going to, you know, want to fight this forever.
I don't think so. All of the pundits seem to be resigned to the fact that Coleman is going to lose this. I think people are trying to talk Coleman into dropping it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, here's some whip out the tiny violin for Norm Coleman. Minnesotans, oddly, have come to the conclusion that Norm Coleman lost the Senate race to Al Franken.
Yeah. What a weird... Where would they get that idea?
And that he should soon concede. A Minneapolis Star Tribune poll shows 64% of voters believe Coleman should accept the recount trial's ruling that he lost the election by 312 votes, Norm.
Yeah.
Only 28% of voters believe his appeal to the state Supreme Court is appropriate. Nearly three-quarters, 73%, believe Coleman should concede if he loses his appeal at the state Supreme Court. So not a lot of patience among
And 9 out of 10 think he should give back the chiclets and get some real teeth.
And get some actual teeth and move along to storage room B. Oral arguments scheduled now for June 1st. So, obviously, Specter's switch will raise pressure on whoever loses to continue the fight in the federal court. Norm Coleman's spokesman says Coleman's focus remains on the thousands of Minnesotan citizens who have not had their voices heard or their votes counted.
Right.
Meanwhile, every single every single Minnesotan is not having its voice heard in the Senate.
Yeah. That's Norm's only concern. It's not about him, Chris.
Of course not.
How could you doubt him?
It's
not
about
him. Exactly.
It's always been about the rule of law. Whatever law benefits me, that's the rule that I want. So I can rule.
All right. Senator Arlen Specter yesterday.
I'm waiting in the wings here.
The prospects for winning a Republican primary are bleak. I am not prepared to have my 29-year record in the United States Senate decided by the Pennsylvania Republican primary electorate.
See, at least I can admit, as self-serving as he is, it serves me. So that's what I care about most, because it benefits me. So in that sense, good for him.
Probably still going to vote with the Republicans a good deal of the time. But the important thing is that the Republican Party is disintegrating before our eyes. They're going the way of the Whigs.
It's becoming a white man party for the South, and
exactly.
That's it.
It's exactly what I've been saying for however long. You know, the fact that Barry Goldwater would be way too liberal to be in this party today.
Mm-hmm.
It should tell you something. All right, 20 minutes.
Reagan would be too liberal for this party.
Thank you. We've been quoting him to make our points lately.
Yes, we have.
On torture and other subjects.
Weird.
20 minutes after the hour, right back with the big breaking news. Arlen Specter becomes a Democrat yesterday, and what that means for the Senate and for the country as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Holy crap!
We'll have more on these new developments after this.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Joe in Spokane on Arlen Specter. Hi, Joe.
Guys and gal.
Yes.
He's been in the Senate 30 years. John McCain, 30 years. Joe Biden was there 30 years. During that 30 years, I watched our factories go overseas, our middle-class jobs disappear. I watched Arlen Specter, Joe Biden, and McCain all root for the Iraq war. Yay! When are people going to wake up and realize we got to throw all these guys out of our government? I mean,
you know,
they're
Joe,
the same guy.
Yeah, no, I mean, Joe, look, clearly we disagree with Arlen Specter on a lot, but, you know, there may be some good, some major issues that we can get some good stuff done, you know, that he is going to vote with us on.
Yeah, he voted with us on Iraq.
Yeah, I hear you.
My point is, we really got to get rid of all these career people and start fresh somehow. I don't know how we're ever going to overcome the corporate thing, but boy, I'm 60 years old, and I've just watched our country go down under these guys being in our government. Mm-hmm. But hey, thanks for taking the call.
All right, thank you, honey.
You know what? We need to be a big tent party. We need to have moderates in our party. You know, the Republicans are kicking out everyone who doesn't agree with their far right. And that's why they are losing. We can't do the same.
We need to have right-wing tools like Joe Lieberman and Arlen Specter.
Well, you know, they're
because,
moderates.
Like I say, they may be key votes on major things we do agree on.
Exactly.
Kurt in Albuquerque, New Mexico, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on the Specter story. Hello, Kurt.
Hi, Mama. Hi, Hello. Chris. Hi, Jim. Hi, Rebecca Baker on drums and phone.
Yes.
First of all, I want to congratulate Senator Specter on coming over to the light side of the party.
Join us. Yes.
Yes, indeed. And I would like to encourage every single Democrat to just take, you know, 5-10 minutes for lunch today and to call him with a message of support. By doing so, we can cause a mass defection from the Republican Party. I would also like to refute...
Haven't most of them already defected? What is it? What was the poll? Shows 21% of Americans say they're Republicans. More believe in ESP and UFOs.
Oh,
yes, ma'am, because the Republican Party... Now, I, like you, grew up a Republican.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if the Republicans would start acting like the Republicans I grew up with, they would have a party again.
Yep, yep, absolutely. You know? I say it over and over.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Yeah, here's the 60-vote majority would be enough to, of course, to override the Republican procedural hurdles and muscle through key parts of Obama's agenda, including measures to provide health insurance. That's a big one. That's what I'm saying. Health insurance is obviously a big one. Combat global warming while moving the nation toward energy independence. Specter said, since my election in 1980, the Republican Party has moved far to the right. Thank you.
Yes.
That's what many of us have been saying. I now find my political philosophy more in line with Democrats than Republicans. Obama reached Specter and told him, you have my full support, and Democrats are thrilled to have you. In a completely unrelated story, Obama will raise money for Specter.
Yes.
And campaign for him. All right.
You know who's not too happy about Specter becoming a Democrat?
Everybody in the Republican Party? Who?
No, Joe Sestak, whom we had on the show yesterday.
Oh,
he
I
was,
know.
He
I
was
saw him on
run
Ed Schultz.
For, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He's gonna run.
He was going to run as the Democrat against Specter.
Oh,
I know.
So maybe this is a chess move.
So was Chris Matthews, reportedly.
Yeah. So
interesting.
All right. Senator Specter.
Yes. I want to emphasize that I will not be changing my own personal independence or my own approach to individual issues. I will not be an automatic 60th vote.
But I will keep that commie Joe Sestak out of the Senate.
All right. The high entertaining value of Republicans sputtering about Arlen Specter next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I've never been called fierce before. Strident, hectoring has been tossed around.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
On the 45.
33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Linda.
45 caliber or RPM?
In New York, Pennsylvania, on the Specter story. Hello, Linda.
Hello.
And we don't mean Phil Spector for once out here in Los Angeles.
Thank God.
We mean Arlen Specter.
I'm sorry about Puff.
Oh, thank you, honey. Thank you.
But I also I want to talk about Arlen Specter because I think that it's great that he has switched. I think that there were times when he voted against his party, and they hated him here anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So I've already written him a
letter. Well, I think, I mean, it was the massive amount of people that have switched their registrations in Pennsylvania from Republican to Democrat, which is obviously a trend around the country.
Well, yeah, except that I live in this Alabama swath, right down the middle. And, you know, it's just like living in Alabama. Here in York County, the Republicans still outnumber us for a little while.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. The Alabama swath of Pennsylvania.
Well, yeah, who was it that said that Pennsylvania is Philadelphia and Pittsburgh with Alabama in between?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
By the way, speaking of our guest yesterday, Representative Joe Sestak, he said, I love this, he told MSNBC yesterday, he's still waiting to hear the motives behind Spector's decision before he gives him his support. Well, I think Jim said it in stand-up news. He has no principles of any kind. That would be the motive. The motive is he's going to lose. What more do you need to know?
Any cost.
Exactly. So Sestak did not rule it out. Did you see that in a couple of MSNBC interviews with Adrian Mitchell? He's not ruling out running yet.
If Spector votes the way he always has and votes with the Republicans more often than with the Democrats, then I think he's got a shot at replacing him.
Corey in Oklahoma on our good friend Sean Hannity. Hello, Corey.
Yes, whenever stuff like this happens, I always tune into the right-wing crazies because it's more entertaining than anything else.
Yeah,
and yesterday, Hannity said,
a lot of sputtering
came out of Hannity's mouth, that the Republican Party has never been as liberal as it is right now. And that's why they
what?
Lost.
The Republicans? So, oh, because they're too liberal. Uh-huh.
Yes. Mm. And so Spector's claims that they've moved to the right ring hollow to him because they've just never been so liberal.
Yeah. He didn't do any name-calling, did he, Chris?
Benedict Arlen, now the senior senator from Pennsylvania, in a cynical move to save his job, switched parties today, leaving the Republican Party and joining the Democrats.
That's pretty good. Benedict Arlen.
It's a good one, Sean. Ron in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Ron.
Hey, good to talk to you.
You too.
There's one thing I want to say about what's going on in the United States. They're bailing out everybody. They're changing parties to get it reelected. But there's one thing they're missing. They have to bring these jobs back. If they don't, the economy's going to sink no matter what.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And if they
jobs. You're right. You know, you can't afford a house. You can't afford nothing.
Right. And General Motors shutting down for 9 weeks.
That's not good.
9 weeks in Michigan. I'm really from Michigan, but I'm sitting in Chicago. I work a part-time job because I'm a retired auto worker. The plan I retired from will close June 29.
Yep.
And that is the last day. That was opened into 36. And it was their number one plan. And I don't care what they say. If they don't bring these jobs back, we're just going to sink the whole economy.
Yeah, well, I don't know if those jobs are coming back, though, Ron.
Arlen Spector can be called anything he wants. But if he don't vote for this free act, you know, for where they can sign
employee
up,
free choice?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
We're done.
Yep. All right, Ron. Thank you, honey. Lavender Pitt, the official roller derby queen of the Stephanie Miller Show in Tucson. Hello, Lavender.
Good morning, Mama. Good morning, Luke.
Good morning.
Morning. So I'm thinking about this Arlen Spector thing, and, you know, he may be a tool, but, you know, we see
But he's
him
our
coming.
Tool now.
Yes, he's our tool now, and we see him coming, and we know what he's about. We understand his motivations much more clearly than, say, Joe Lieberman, who had to lose a primary to keep his job and betrayed a lot of people in Connecticut by doing so. At least before the election, we know exactly what this guy's doing, and we can pretty much, at least he's being an honest tool.
Yeah, exactly. Well, listen, I wish we had a senator from Connecticut?
Lamont.
I wish we had a senator.
Yeah,
I wish we had real Democrats, trust me.
But, you know, I tell you, because Lamont won that primary, and if Lieberman had even a remote shred of integrity, he would have just stepped down.
Yeah, well, and Joe Lieberman's main cause has always been Joe Lieberman, so that was not a surprise. Thank you, Lavender. Mitch McChinless, the Senate Republican leader, he said the threat to the country presented by this defection.
Whatever.
Now he's a national security threat.
Yes.
Arlen Spector, you see.
So we have to be waterboarded, apparently.
Because he's joined the Socialistical Party. really relates to the issue of whether or not in the United States of America our people want the majority to have whatever it wants without restraint. According to the latest polls, yes, pretty much.
Well,
yes.
Wait a minute. Why is Mitch McConnell concerned about this? Mm-hmm. He said it's a Pennsylvania issue.
Yeah.
It's not a national issue, so why should he be concerned?
Well, now it's a national security threat.
It's a Pennsylvania issue.
Well, then he needs to get his facts straight. And get his story straight.
Hmm.
What I meant to say was...
Can I have my fine American music? Here's what the people of the United States of America want in the majority. They want pretty much what the Democrats want. So, as he enters his 100th day in office, President Barack Obama enjoys higher marks from the American public than his most recent predecessors did at similar points in their presidencies. According to the latest NBC News Wall Street Journal poll, more than 6 in 10, Jim.
Wow, that's like 60%.
Mm-hmm.
Holy crap.
Approve of Obama's job. Nearly two-thirds view him favorably, and a majority believe he's gotten off to a solid start in his first 3 months on the job. Perhaps most significantly, Americans so far find him to be likable. More than 80% in the poll say they personally like Obama, even if they don't agree with all of his policies. Respondents give him high scores on personality, demeanor, and leadership qualities. A Republican pollster who did the poll says these numbers suggest someone who is wearing well with the public. He compares Obama's likability to Reagan in the 80s. 64% view Obama favorably, 23% see him in a negative light. A whopping 81% say they like him personally. How popular can this guy be, said the pollster. The answer is exceptionally popular. In the poll, 43% say the country's on the right track, compared with an equal 43% who say it's on the wrong track. Yet that's a 17-point jump just since January, when he was inaugurated. A 31-point increase since October 2008, which is stunning, actually. The poll suggests a public appetite for Obama's legislative priorities on health care and energy.
Huh.
Arlen Specter, pay attention. By a 56% to 37% margin, respondents say that they support expanding health insurance coverage and raising taxes on the wealthy to help pay for it.
Hmm.
Who's listening over there in the Republican Party? By a 58% to 35% margin, they favor charging a fee to companies that emit greenhouse gases, even if that will result in higher utility bills, and using that money to provide tax cuts for middle-class Americans. Just 29% have a positive view of the Republican Party, while 44% view it negatively. The 32nd consecutive NBC Journal poll showing it with a net negative rating. By comparison, Democratic Party has a net positive rating, 45 to 34%. Also, majority respondents in the poll say congressional Republicans have been too stubborn in their dealings with Obama. The pollster said, while Republicans are trying to be the loyal opposition, the public doesn't see it that way. And for some reason, they polled about George Bush and Dick Cheney.
Mm-hmm.
George Bush with a whopping 26% approval rating.
Oh.
Dick Cheney, 18% approval rating. According to the poll, 53% say the U.S. Tortured detainees versus 30% who say they didn't. Here's the only dark cloud in the poll for me. More than 6 in 10 oppose any kind of criminal investigation into whether the Bush administration committed torture. So let me get this straight. Most of us agree that we tortured. And most of us think,
let's just get all the information out there. Let's make sure everyone knows everything about the entire deal, so we know exactly what went on.
Yeah.
And they can just
And if you see the extent of the illegality, do you really stand here and say, yes, we're Americans? Ah, that's okay, because we're Americans. We can just say,
If people saw exactly, just how much they had to do with this, that it was from the top down, and how early on they planned it.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Maybe that hasn't sunk in yet. So
they were torturing people intentionally to get false information, most likely to get them to lie about
for a
non-existent
to get into a false war
between Hussein and Al Qaeda.
Yep, exactly. 42 minutes after the hour, back with more on the rolling repercussions of Arlen Specter's switch to the Democratic Party yesterday. As we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, it's a cross between beautiful and gross. I want to cry and vomit.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it.
Such an obscene finger gesture.
47 minutes after the hour. I've always thought you were number one.
What did I do to warrant that?
Oh, nothing. I just had a bold and bitchy.
1-800. That would be number two or number three, depending which country you're in. In Germany, number one is...
I overdid the Carnation Instant bitch again.
Yes, you did.
47 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Carlos in Chicago on Arlen Specter. Hey, Carlos.
Yeah, how you doing, Stephanie?
Yeah, go ahead.
I can understand the disappointment of the Republicans about the switchover, but they're a little hypocritical and double standard when they talk about him switching over, because Reagan actually switched over
yeah.
early.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
They beloved Reagan, and how do they feel about that?
Yep, exactly. I guess that would be the most famous one, wouldn't it?
Yes, Reagan was, while still an actor, sold out the Screen Actors Guild, got him a really bad contract. I think it was in 1953, and promptly became a Republican and a producer.
Oh, great. Okay.
Follow the money.
Speaking of flip-floppers. All right. Senator Arlen Specter yesterday.
Since the stimulus vote, I have traveled the state, surveyed the sentiments of the Republican Party in Pennsylvania, done public opinion polls, observed other public opinion polls, and have found that the prospects for winning a Republican primary are bleak.
So
basically, I'm just a huge opportunist.
Howard Kurtz was twittering yesterday that it looks like the GOP is an endangered species in the Northeast, because he was the last, well, except for Maine. But those are two mavericks anyway.
And I was just going to say, Senator Olympia Snowe, they better be careful. She'll be next.
Exactly.
She said yesterday the GOP hasn't been offering warm, encouraging words about moderates of late.
Yeah.
I don't think Susan Collins is quite on board yet, though.
She's quite moderate, though.
She is moderate.
But... she's a little to the right of Olympia Snowe, but she's still moderate.
Yes, until she made the, pandemic flu money disappear magically. Senator Ghostly did. Oh, Esmeralda. Republican leaders pushing back hard against the notion that their party is to blame for Senator Spector's defection. No,
no.
They have nothing to do with it.
She says no.
What?
That's what happens when you push moderates out of your party.
There you
because
go.
The Republicans are too liberal. Mm. That's the problem right there, you see.
Lindsey Graham, I love this. He said, I want to be a member of a vibrant national Republican Party that can attract people from all corners of the country, and we can govern the country from a center-right perspective.
And I want to be an astronaut.
Good luck with that. I want a pony, and I want Keith Olbermann to marry me. Good luck with that, Lindsey, because you're not a member of a party like that. Okay, so Senator Specter.
This is a painful decision. I know that I'm disappointing many of my friends and colleagues.
Just a scotion.
Frankly, I've been disappointed by some of the responses. So the disappointment runs in both directions.
Yeah, like, for instance, Michael Steele.
Oh, yeah.
That's funny.
He put out a scathing statement. Some in the Republican Party are happy about this. I am not. Let's be honest. Senator Specter didn't leave the Republican Party based on principles of any kind. He left to further his personal political interests because he knew that he was going to lose the Republican primary due to his left-wing voting record. Republicans look forward to beating Senator Specter in 2010, assuming the Democrats don't do it first. Meow. He went on to say,
for the senator to effectively flip the bird back to Senator Cornyn and the Republican Senate leadership, hit the team that has stood by him, who went to the bat for him in 2004 to save his hide, to me is not only disrespectful, it's just downright rude. I'm sure his mama didn't raise him that way.
It's rude. It's just rude. And politics is usually so nice. All right. Carl Rove said Specter did this for one reason and one reason only, self-preservation. Yes, because Carl Rove would never do anything for shallow political purposes.
No.
He's one to speak, of course. He said, I think he made a calculation the only way he could keep his seat is to go with the Democratic Party. Oh, he slipped and said Democratic Party.
Uh-oh. He's breaking
through. Uh-oh.
I think he had a brain-related event.
He's always been a liberal Republican. This is driven by one thing and one thing only, his lousy poll numbers. Yes, Karl Rove, as you know, never has looked at polls of any kind. He's just always gone on principle. Michelle Malkin said Specter was just making it official that he was the head of the Turncoat Caucus.
Keep pushing moderates out of your party, Republicans.
Good idea.
Keep pushing them out, because we'll take them.
She wrote, Arlen Specter, we have 10 words for you. Don't let the door hit you on the way out. And go to Olympia Snowe. You get the hell out, Susan Collins.
We're throwing you out of our sport.
Go be free. Okay. Barbara in Philadelphia. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show on Arlen Specter. Hey, Barb.
Hi there.
Hi.
I'm not as thrilled about Arlen Specter as you guys may be. One, he's holding up the nomination of Dawn Johnson.
Don Johnson from Miami Vice? What's he up for?
No, Dawn.
And Cheech Marin.
Dawn.
For one of the White House attorney's position or whatever, because she...
Listen, Barbara, I'm not a huge fan, obviously, of Arlen Specter on a lot of issues, but on some I am, and no. We need the votes on some big issues, don't you think?
Well, I mean, he can vote that way as a Republican, since they're going to vote against him anyway in the primary. The other thing I don't like is the way they're manipulating him through the primary. They're forcing all of the good, strong, real Democrats...
Mm-hmm.
to get out of the race
mm-hmm.
and to give him a clear field. There is also a rumor that they're going to give him the chairmanship of the Appropriations Committee, which is a very powerful position.
Mm-hmm.
And that's wrong. Why are they giving him more perks than they're giving to Democrats who have served as Democrats for
well,
a long period
Barbara,
of time?
Well, Barbara, I agree with you on a lot of that. I would rather have a real Democrat in there. But, you know, it's what these guys are making a point of. This is exactly the mistake the Republican Party has been making, is making it a smaller and smaller tent and pushing moderates out. So we may not agree with him on every issue.
I would love Olympia Snow. I have watched Arlen Specter. I have watched Ed Rendell and the way they manipulate and maneuver. And I resent it as a voter. I want the chance to vote for, you know, all of the people. If I want to vote for a regular, real Democrat that's work for the Democratic
Well, you know why,
Party.
Barbara? Because you live in the communist area of Philadelphia there in Pennsylvania.
No.
I'm just kidding.
I really am not. And he can't be trusted.
Yeah.
You really, he said, I'm not going to be the 60th.
Do you really think there's a chance he won't win?
It could be interesting.
Yeah, there's an outside chance.
Suppose Tui isn't the nominee, that it's Tom Ridge.
Ah, interesting.
Tom Ridge could win.
Yeah,
yes.
Yep.
And I would vote for Tom Ridge over Arlen Specter.
Yes, he came up with that color-coded terror alert thing.
No, he didn't. That wasn't him. He was forced to do that.
Oh, no, it's orange today. What does that mean?
It's magenta.
Is that system still in place?
Yeah.
It's sienna. Oh, is it?
It's burnt umber.
Quick, what are we today?
Cornflower.
I know Bill Maher said that.
Green.
Bill Maher said that. Yellow. What does that mean? Bring a sweater? What do you do when it's a certain color?
Well, remember when every newscast would open, you know, with the terror alert level?
Yes.
That really has fallen by the wayside.
Mm. Too bad.
Yeah.
Charles Hinton. Because that's the first thing I thought when Tom Ridge came up with it. Very handsome, neat man. I'm like, that is so gay, that color alert system.
Of course, Arlen Specter came up with a single bullet theory.
Charles in St. Paul, Minnesota, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi, folks. Hey, you know, 4 years ago, Karl Rove thought Democrats would regain the government when pigs fly. And with the H1N1 flu, DNA from both swine and birds, so I propose we call it the flying pig flu.
All right, there you go. Okay. Let's go to Mike in Madison on Specter. Hi, Mike.
Yes, I'd like to thank the Republican Party for their spring cleaning, slash and burning, whatever you want to call it. All they're doing for us is what we needed to see happen originally, which is to thin that herd.
Yes, there you go. Thank you.
And thanks for playing People Who Need to Be Thinned from the Herd.
Jan in Illinois on Specter. Hey, Jan, welcome.
Hi, Steph.
Hi.
Hey, you know, what I'm wondering is, you know, Arlen Specter is 77 years old.
79.
He's 79. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. And he's had a, you know, horrible bout with cancer. Isn't it, like, kind of time for him to just retire and shuffle off over that happy place someplace?
Not necessarily. I said this about Joe Lieberman way back when he was running against Ned Lamont. There is something to be said for seniority. And it's great to have that kind of seniority, not with the Republicans anymore, but with the Democrats.
Well, yeah, I see your point, but, like, I'm just thinking he might be old.
Well, Robert Byrd,
yeah,
like, who
no
are you
Robert
talking
Byrd.
To? What you talking about, Willis? Yeah, they do stay in their jobs till they're like 1,000. You know, what's with most of us, retire before that, but what are you going to do? Mm. All right, Robert Gibbs, White House press secretary yesterday.
The president has asked to campaign for Senator Specter. We'll be happy to do it. As the president told Senator Specter on the phone, he has our full support.
I would think it would be a long shot that he would lose in Pennsylvania, but we'll see. All right, 57 minutes after the hour, who's the official reverend of the Stephanie Miller Show?
The Reverend Jim Wallace of Sojourners.
That's correct. Apparently, he's doing more of this, I don't know, trying to talk about stuff that Jesus actually talked about, like poverty and actually...
What?
Do
what
something
a commie.
Do something about it. We'll be back with the Reverend Jim Wallace next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Representative Elliot Engel, Democrat of the great state of New York, coming up on the Celebrity Hotline. And comedian Hal Sparks live in the studio all next hour with us.
Hey, maybe we'll play a guitar solo for us.
Bring
in a Marshall stack.
StephanieMiller.com,
to 11.
The website. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. The Republican Party officially became that little pup tent yesterday. It's too small. They don't even sell it at REI anymore. Senator Harry Reid, the Senate Democratic leader.
I welcome Senator Spector and his moderate voice to our very diverse caucus and to continue our open and honest debate about the best way to make life better for all Americans.
Meanwhile, the breaking news on the swine flu, we have had our first death in the United States. Yeah. Robert Gibbs, White House press secretary.
For moving infrastructure around the country to ensure that we have the resources, if needed, to produce additional antiviral drugs, to ramp up the production of a vaccine.
All right. So the White House on top of the swine flu epidemic. In the meantime, there's been some weird stuff happening at the White House, Jim. I don't understand. They're doing stuff about, I don't know, poverty and
what?
Things that Jesus actually talked about, apparently. If only somebody knew something. Yes, Chris, who is it?
It's the founder of Sojourners at Sojo.net, the Reverend Jim Wallace.
He's the official Reverend of
That's
the
right.
Stephanie Miller Show. Good morning, Reverend Wallace.
Stephanie, what a coincidence.
What are the chances you would call now?
Amazing.
We love having you on. And you have, there were some big doings this week at the White House. Tell us about it.
Well, we have the mobilization and poverty going on here. It's 1,100 people came during an economic recession to focus on how we really can make significant progress on poverty reduction. So we had a whole White House team come over and talk to us. Barack Obama sent a lovely personal video to this group. These are people from all the states, and they're grassroots organizers, community organizers, Stephanie. You know, we've heard about community organizers.
Yes. We've seen what a community organizer can do as of late.
And right now, I just stepped out from meeting the heads of all these churches and faith-based organizations. We're in the convention center. And so the White House team came over to really interact with us about, you know, the progress that we're making, how to make sure low-income people and vulnerable people, families, are a part of this economic recovery. And then we went to the Congress yesterday. We had 86 Senate appointments. That's most of the Senate with these faith leaders, and 220 in the House. And the Speaker came and talked to us. And clearly, poverty is now, for the first time in a long time, on the agenda.
Mm-hmm.
And so this administration is committed. In fact, you know, Barack Obama has instructed these team members who came to see us. He said, "Bird dog this recovery process and this budget to make sure that vulnerable people are getting resources and are part of this recovery."
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, and it's all interconnected, Reverend Wallace. I mean,
right.
You know, they were somebody yesterday was talking from the White House, excuse me, about swine flu and how, you know, of course, that's going to impact the poor countries and poor people even more than everybody else. You're right. I mean, in this economy, of course, the least among us are the ones that are getting hit the hardest. And thank God you're shining a light on that.
Well, whether it's climate change or whether it's swine flu or whether it's just recession, it hits the poor first and hardest. And so here are people around the country who are working day by day by day with poor people. But now they've come to Washington to say, we want this agenda to be on to be on the agenda here. And so we talked to members of Congress and the Senate yesterday. It was a great day on Capitol Hill, a rally at the end of the day. And now we're back here at the convention center training to go back home, because when they go back home, you know, this budget has got big decisions coming up. It'll don't pass today, but it doesn't mean these things pass. Child nutrition, health care, education for low-income kids, energy transformation. These are big issues. And so I told these 1,000 activists, okay, I want you to watch and pray, which is a biblical phrase. You tell your members of Congress you're watching these budget votes and you're praying for them to do the right thing. When you pray for people you're watching, it helps to get their attention.
Well, Reverend Wallace, and I think Arlen Specter is a part of this too, is I think you and I have talked about this before, that we've had the right in this country screaming about moral values. I'm happy to actually, you know, see somebody doing something about things that Jesus actually talked about, like helping the poor, instead of, you know, out here in California, all the money and energy that was spent, in my opinion, taking rights away from people that already had them in this Prop 8 battle. And I know you and I disagree on gay marriage, but you know what I mean? I just think that there are things that Jesus talked about and things that he didn't.
Well, in fact, there's a bill coming up today in the House. It's a hate crimes bill, and it's to protect gay and lesbian people from violence. So when Matthew Shepard was killed, there was an appalling silence from churches. So whether people agree about the theology of homosexuality or gay marriage or civil unions, this is about protecting people's basic human rights and dignity. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of us are going to support that bill. And we had a conservative leader just this morning say, you know, we conservative evangelicals have been known for our care for children in the womb, but how about children in the slums?
You know? Yeah, exactly.
Let's care for kids in the slums after they're born, not just before they're born.
You know, I, Reverend Walls, I also feel like the confirmation of Governor Sebelius is also a part of this. You know, again, you and I probably disagree on pro-life, pro-choice. However, Kathleen Sebelius is personally pro-life. It's just that, you know, obviously the ability to choose is the law of the land, and that's part of what she was trying to do in Kansas. And, you know, there were certain legal decisions that she felt wouldn't hold up legally, and we're in the midst of almost something that's going to be a pandemic, and Republicans were holding up her nomination single issue.
Congressman Tim Ryan came and spoke to us, and also Congresswoman Rosa DeLauro. Now, the two of them are leading the way in creating some common ground between pro-life and pro-choice. It's called abortion reduction. I mean, this ought to be our common ground, whether you're pro-life or pro-choice on the legal questions.
Yep.
We all agree that there ought to be fewer abortions. How do you support low-income women? How do you work on preventing unwanted pregnancies, teenage pregnancies? So I think those two members of Congress are going to help us here by forming some common ground, and then we can find a real place to agree what we're for and not just what we're against.
Yep, absolutely. Reverend Wallace, we are always blessed when you take time for us. Thank you so much, and thanks for doing...
I love being on your show, and just calling when I just kind of have the... It's definitely on my mind, I just call.
I know, I understand. And you know, Reverend Wallace, because you are a reverend, I will confess to you that I oftentimes say thank you for doing the Lord's work to people, and I just mean that in a shallow, insincere talk show kind of way, but to you, I really, really mean it. Thank you for doing the Lord's work.
And so you all say, keep the faith.
Yes. Thank you, sir. Reverend Jim Wallace, there he goes.
Hooray.
Author of God's Politics. How the right gets it wrong and the left doesn't get it.
So nah, I don't think that last part is right.
It is right.
Is it right?
Yes. How dare you?
All right.
So
I think that's the real title.
Okay. The big breaking news, of course, Senator Arlen Specter yesterday became a Democrat. He said, I will not be the automatic 60th vote. However, I would illustrate that my position on employee choice, also known as card check, I think it's a bad deal. I'm opposed to it. So, you know, Jim, you were right earlier when you said he's not going to vote with us on everything that we want. His switch could have a dramatic effect on some of the most challenging issues, though, before the Senate, changing the dynamic on health care reform, a big, big, big one, in my opinion.
And you could still lose the next election to a real Democrat.
Economic policy, and it may even tilt the global warming debate back toward Democrats, all, again, huge issues in my view.
Right.
The impact could extend to the Supreme Court, where Specter, who, of course, is on the judiciary, could be a key ally if the president makes a Supreme Court pick in the near future.
That's a possibility.
Olympia Snow said, ultimately, we're heading to having the smallest political tent in history the way things are unfolding. She may be next. Who knows? Senator Robert Casey, Democrat of Pennsylvania yesterday.
The President Obama's priorities this year are going to have more support than they would have otherwise.
This is true, and this is good. This is a good thing. I forgot. Shano has a tribute to the top story of the day. Shano, I apologize. I forgot.
Senator Arlen Specter, longtime Republican, said he will and is becoming a Democrat. switch. Arlen Specter is now the switch. Democratic senator from Pennsylvania.
We're thrilled to have you. That's what President Obama said.
Republican Party has moved farther and farther to the right. Found myself more in line with the philosophy of the Democratic Party.
Switch. Switch.
Julie in Seattle on the Specter story. Hey, Julie.
Hi, Mama. Hey, while the Reverend was on, I had Fox on in the background, and they had a little thing at the bottom of the screen that says, hate crimes bill will stifle religious liberty.
Oh.
It's going to put a crimp in their style. As far as Specter goes, I think it was even a lower...
Yeah, but you mean religious people should have the right to kill gay people? That's what
I guess so.
Nah, I see.
It's essential ten of their beliefs.
Yeah. But, you don't want to stifle that. Mm-hmm.
This Arlen Specter deal, I think it's even lower, stinkier, and rottener political deal than we'll ever hear in public, but you can tell by how damn happy the Democrats are and how many people jumped up to say they're going to be thrilled to raise money for him and campaign for him that some sort of significant and concrete concessions were delivered. He was also given an amazing deal on seniority that, as people have mentioned, bodes well for a committee chairmanship, and they wouldn't have handed that to him for the kind of being a sort of Democrat. I'm sure he agreed. He doesn't have to vote for the bill itself, but he one of their big concerns in the Senate is, because they're a bunch of stuffy old bastards, is to keep that filibuster rule intact. And they were coming to a crisis because the Republicans have been misusing it, in their view, to stop votes. And all Senator Specter has to do is not be that 60th vote on cloture. Mm-hmm. He can still vote against it and keep his residual tiny little bit of principles that you know, if it facilitates a 51 vote on gets us health care and a 53 vote gets us card check, they just made an end run not only around him but also around some of our Democrats. God love them, they're worse than he is in voting against our interests. So
I hear you, Jill. Okay,
some horse trading.
Some horse trading has been done.
Yeah, exactly.
By the way, I think we have actually the big breaking news is how this happened. Everyone's wondering, how did this happen? How long ago? Joe Biden talked him to death. And Joe Biden can talk a man to death.
Was it on the Amtrak? Because I think both of them take the same train.
Oh, you see?
The Amtrak drops off Joe Biden in Wilmington.
It was planes, trains, and automobiles, I'm telling you.
Uh-huh.
Those aren't pillows.
Okay, I'll become a Democrat. Get your hand out of there. No one may have played a bigger role than Vice President Biden. He's been trying to convince Specter to switch parties for at least the past 5 years.
Oh, wow.
But those efforts were stepped up as soon as he became vice president. Biden has met or spoken by phone with Specter an average of once a week since the inauguration in the past 10 weeks. Biden
I'll do it. Just shut up.
Has spoken
just
to Specter 14 times.
Oh, my God.
Six in person and eight on the phone. Oh, there was drunk dialing going on from the VP office. Biden's argument over the past 2 months was playing your party has left you. And then he kept talking for you. Probably.
Yeah.
That was one sentence, but then there was a lot of other sentences. Good job, Joe. All right, 20 minutes after the hour, back with more of the fallout and the screaming on the ride over Arlen Specter's defection to the Democratic Party yesterday on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yeah, sorry about that. The show's gotten a little lowbrow.
What are you talking about? It's like the most hilarious show ever.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Dan in Chicago on the color-coded terror alert system. Hello, Dan.
Hello, kids. It's the official storm-chasing chauffeur of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Thank you.
Actually, one thing before I get to the color code. Whenever we talk about the Republicans, can we use Red Raiders' Lunatic Fringe?
Do what?
You know the
song. It's a song.
Oh, yeah. Fine. Yes. Okay. Go ahead.
Anyway, as a chauffeur in Chicago, I can attest that they still use the color code system, and right now at O'Hare, we are on code orange.
Oh, no! What?
Yes.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
Okay.
Basically, I see that damn sign every time that I pay my $2 tax stamp to the city of Chicago to pick up passengers.
Wow. Good. Well, I feel safer now.
I think it just means that Dick Cheney is still alive.
Okay. And we wish him well. Okay. By the way, so the...
out of prison.
Of course, the Specter defection to the Democratic Party yesterday has put a spotlight on Minnesota, as you know.
Yes.
Norm Coleman's taking an interesting tack in the continued spin war. I think I just did the Minnesota poll earlier that show people want him to go goodbye in Minnesota. Time to bye now, Norm. Coleman said no matter who wins the race, there's always going to be a cloud hanging over them. Did they really get more votes than the other guy? Well, in Al Franken's case.
Yes.
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 Yes, he did. That's a reality, and there's nothing you can do to change that. Well, there would be if you actually won the race and they counted the votes in a recount.
You know,
declared the winner again.
I got to say, Al Franken has been blessedly above the fray in all of this. He is coming out like, you know, the much bigger man.
But may I just say one thing? To be a fly on the wall in his and Franny's kitchen, because I bet you he's gotten some zingers off.
Yes.
Knowing him personally as I do.
I'm sure he'll be writing a book about it once this is all over.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Senator Robert Casey, Democrat of Pennsylvania, on the Specter story yesterday.
It appears now that we have 60 votes for a lot of important issues, and that's, I think that's significant.
And Senator Pat Leahy, not so sure. Senator Pat
Leahy. I think Alan Specter is going to vote the way he will vote.
Well, that's...
That goes without saying.
Yeah.
We're just saying there's a lot of big issues coming down the pike that we will need his vote on. Representative Nancy Pelosi.
Very exciting. Very exciting for the American people, because now we can get things done without explaining process. But it shows that the country is going in a new direction, and we would hope to do that in a bipartisan way. And now we'll do it with all the diversity of thinking within our very independent thinking party.
Well, that's the first time I've been described as very exciting. Usually
Senator,
people have the opposite reaction to me.
Senator Mitch McChinless, first of all, I thought he said this is just a Pennsylvania story. It's not really a national story at all. However, it didn't stop him from opening his big yap on national television several times about it.
The danger of that for the country
is
that there won't automatically be an ability to restrain the excess that is typically associated with big majorities and single-party rule.
Like yours?
Yeah, although that seemed to be fine when you were in charge.
You should say he partially opened his big yap. His top lip didn't move.
No,
yeah, his
that never
lipless,
yap.
All
yes.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Senator John Cornyn, Republican of Texas.
This was simply nothing more, nothing less than political self-preservation.
Yeah, and none of all y'alls ever do anything like that, do ya?
No.
Ooh, yeah. Okay, 28 minutes after the hour, how has President Obama done during his first 100 days?
Yes.
We're going to get a report card from
this is his 100th day today.
Happy 100th day, President Obama. We will get his report card from Representative Elliot Engel, also his thoughts on the Specter news and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
You know, when you're this senile, there's no eggs left in there to make a baby.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Today, President Obama's 100th day in office. Hear, hear. He will give a primetime news conference tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Guess who's not going to air it? Fox Network.
Yeah.
Fox?
That's yeah, something better to do.
Weird.
Infomercial or something.
Yeah, we have, of course, an economy in distress, two wars, and now a swine flu outbreak. However, Lie to Me is on. What the Fox? So they will not be showing it, but everyone else will. Fox News Channel will, but not the regular Fox Network, okay. But it will be on everywhere else. If only there was someone that could offer a fair and balanced perspective of the first 100 days. But, Chris, who is it?
Representative Elliot Engel from the great state of New York.
He's one of our personal favorites.
Yes.
Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning. I love those trumpets when my name is called.
You're treated as royalty here.
Well, that's why I want to come on the show.
Congressman, tell us your take on the president's first 100 days.
Oh, he's just been terrific. You know, it makes me so proud to be an American. I was with the president at the Summit of the Americas down at Trinidad because I chair the Western Hemisphere Subcommittee of the Foreign Affairs Committee. And I can tell you, he was a rock star. I mean, every leader we met with over, my delegation met with over 20 leaders, heads of state, and every one of them was telling us how impressed they were with the president, how they feel it's a new era in U.S. relations with the hemisphere. And when we, you know, we met with the president as well, our delegation, and then we heard him at the plenary, he was just terrific.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, what a difference over the past 8 years.
Wow. I'll say, I mean, I don't know if you've seen the new NBC Wall Street Journal poll, but wow, Americans overwhelmingly agree with you. I think he has an 81% personally like him, whether they agree with everything he is for or not.
Right. Well, you know, he's intelligent. He can think on his feet. He obviously cares about things. He's thoughtful. And you just get the feeling that the problems that we have, and we have lots of problems, I don't want to paper them over, but you just feel that there is a real sincere and knowledgeable attempt to try to get at these problems. And that's what we're trying to do. And frankly, that's what the Democratic Congress is trying to do. We're trying to move on from economic ruin. We're trying to be bold. We're trying to pass new policies, and we're trying to, you know, combat our Republican friends who seem to think that the prescription for getting us out of the mess that they left us in is,
well,
more of the same.
Congressman, and I hope they're paying attention to the poll numbers, you know, in particular for the not just, you know, the president's policies, but the Democratic policies. Essentially, they agree with us on health care, on energy, on a lot of the big votes that are coming up.
Well, they do. And, you know, the president has laid it out, I think, very, very well. If we are going to fix the economy and we're going to spend trillions of dollars to do it, we need to tackle the problems of the country and the things that we would like to see change in order to move forward along with the economy. And the president has said education, health care, and energy will be his three priorities to work in terms of fixing the economy. Now, I love it because I serve on the Energy and Commerce Committee, so there's two of them right there. Education, of course, is so important. And then, as I mentioned before, I chair one of the subcommittees on the Foreign Affairs Committee. Our standing in the world is important. And for people who say, who cares what these other people think of us and why are we going soft and whatever, well, it's important what other countries think of us because the Earth is shrinking and we're more and more in a global economy and everything else. And it's important that we have mm-hmm. friends and allies and admirers around
mm-hmm.
the world.
Mm-hmm. Well, what is your take on the big story yesterday, Arlen Specter defecting to the Democratic Party?
Well, you know, good for him. I mean, I think he obviously analyzed it and saw that he could not get reelected. He couldn't get through a Republican primary in Pennsylvania, and it's a shame because it's you know, particularly he has reached across party lines, you know, as a Republican, and the hard right electorate doesn't like it, and they dominate the Republican primary, and he just saw that he couldn't get reelected, and he said, you know, if I'm going to keep being the independent senator that I've been, you know, he voted with the Democrats on the very important bills for the Obama administration, and I just figured, I mean, I liked his statement. He said that he felt he was more in line now with mm-hmm. Democrats mm-hmm. than Republicans, and he wasn't willing to let the Republican electorate in the primary determine his career.
Right.
He wanted all the people of Pennsylvania to do that. So
right.
I think it's
great. Well, listen, I would leave the party of Michelle Bachmann, too, if I were a Republican.
Talking about Minnesota, let me just tell you this.
Yes.
There's something ironic now that he's senator, that Al Franken becomes the 60th senator. This, you know, being from New York and Saturday Night Live and all that stuff, I think it's really there's something in the cards about Al Franken being the 60th Democratic senator.
Yeah, I think so, too. Well, so Michelle Bachmann, so we're in the midst of what may become a swine flu pandemic. She said that she thinks swine flu only happens during Democratic presidencies. Did you hear about that?
Somehow it doesn't surprise me. Do you know, I think that Saturday Night Live should take her as one of their script writers. I think maybe we should get Al Franken. They both come from Minnesota. You know, they could get them together and they could work out.
Well, and I don't know if you heard what the leader of the Democratic, or the Republican Party, said yesterday, Rush Limbaugh. Did you hear this?
Everywhere Obama is spreading Obamaism, there is a deadly disease taking place, either in the TARP community or in the newspaper business. Obama goes to Mexico, they have an earthquake. Obama goes to Mexico, get pig flu.
How do you even respond to that?
Well, it just falls in line with what I have always thought, that Rush Limbaugh is one of the greatest entertainers of all time.
Yep.
That's really what he is. And he wants to say provocative things because then more and more people, talk about him. I think it's interesting that some of my Republican colleagues, you know, when they say something a little bit critical of him, they then have to go hand in hand and apologize and beg for forgiveness. There's something a little bit out of whack there, I think.
Yeah, listen, you know what? Feel free to talk smack about me all day long if you want to. You don't ever have to come apologize.
All right, it's a deal. It's a deal.
So I have to, being the congressman from New York, I have to ask you, what though, with that plane flyby?
Oh, my God. Did you ever hear such stupidity? I was talking to my nephew last night, and he works at the World Financial Center, and he said they saw the planes from their window. Now, the World Financial Center is right across from the World Trade Center, and, of course, every window in the World Financial Center was blown out when the planes hit the World Trade Center.
Right.
And he said people were just evacuating the building and running out, and he did the same thing. I mean, what stupidity. It's just incredible.
Well, and I know, I hear the president was furious, but what I don't get is they say the mayor's office and New York and New Jersey police agencies were told. Why did they not notify the public?
Well, Mayor Bloomberg, I haven't spoken with him, but I've just seen the press reports. He claims he didn't know, and they apparently told some low-level person.
His office, right.
So it's just incredible. And, of course, New York is going to be jittery because of what happened, and I don't know that the brilliant people who decided this wouldn't have thought that that would be the case. It's just incredible.
Exactly. Well, I mean, I guess I get it. It's a security thing. They don't want to put information like that out in advance, But it's still, it was kind of incredible.
But I think we should blame it on the Republicans. They blame us for everything.
Exactly.
So let's blame this one
exactly.
on them.
All right, Representative Elliot Engel, thanks for taking time for us this morning.
It's always a pleasure. It really starts my day off right.
All right. Thank you, sir. There he goes. Wow.
Yay.
His days cannot be good if this is the highlight.
I think they should replace Michelle Bachman with Kristen Wiig from Saturday Night Live and see if anyone notices. Just make crazy faces and say crazy things, and it'll be perfectly normal.
Kristen Wiig plays everyone else on that show. Why not play?
I still have one dream left for 2012. You know what it is. That Michelle Bachman runs with Jeanine Turner, who is also a right-wing tool that I've debated on, and is an actress, so she could play herself, and it would be...
Bachman-Turner Overdrive.
Yes, thank you very much. can't say that enough.
Yeah, don't ever get tired of that one.
Mm-mm. Okay. All right. Well, unless I'm saying that The Who has made this a pandemic level 4. It's the World Health Organization. I keep getting that wrong, too.
Actually, you should play Quadrophenia.
Okay. Anyway, Michelle Bachman said, I find it interesting that it was back in the 70s that the swine flu broke out under then another Democratic president, Jimmy Carter. I'm not blaming this on President Obama. I just think it's an interesting coincidence. The 1976 swine flu scare, Jim, actually happened on Gerald Ford.
Jimmy Carter wasn't president until 1977.
He's a Republican, so if you're going to go with interesting coincidences or conspiracy theory.
Can she be any dumber?
She can't be any
crazier. Seriously.
She can't be any crazier, that's for sure.
Just let her keep talking. She'll say something dumber.
Yeah, but Minnesota keeps reelecting her. That is just something I don't understand.
Well, at least they have two senators. Oh, oops.
Not yet.
No. Okay, 42 minutes after the hour, back with the highly entertaining Republican sputtering I've been promising about Arlen Specter and much more. The latest on swine flu, too, as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
You want to get nuts? Come on! Let's get nuts.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 47 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Neil in Casper, Wyoming, on our friend Sean Hannity. Hello, Neil.
Good morning, Miss Steph.
Good morning.
This is day 7 since Sean Hannity has agreed to be waterboarded to raise money for the troops and has yet to keep his promise.
Yeah, I know. We are keeping watch here as well. Let's go to Rebecca in St. Paul on Bat Crazy, Minnesota Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann. Hello, Rebecca.
Hi, Steph. I was listening to you this morning about how the swine flu only happens under democratic regimes.
Well, except she was wrong about that, but yes, uh-huh.
I know. I just heard on the news that there is a potential case of swine flu in Minnesota in Cold Spring, which is Michelle Bachmann's district.
Oh!
Zoinks!
We see why someone would want to deflect blame. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Deflect.
Thank you. Okay. Bill Kristol on the Burr Show. They're trying to put a happy spin on the Arlen Specter defection.
I think it's good for the Republicans. Let me be contrarian on this. It puts Obama and the Democrats unambiguously in charge.
Okay.
No one can say the Republicans are obstructing anything. Democratic president, 60 Democratic votes in the Senate, big majority in the House. Let them try to govern for the next year and a half.
Okay, then, Bill. Thanks for your support. Mm. Okay, Sean Hannity on the Specter story.
Faced with retirement, in his case, we won't call it early, Specter runs out on
That's
his party, the voters who elected him, and the people who donated money to the Republican senator from Pennsylvania. And in so doing, he exposes the American people to an unchecked and out-of-control liberal agenda.
Sean.
Unfortunately, there are a lot of conservative Democrats. And Arlen is now one of them.
Yes. Yeah. So, he had his friend Nudie on to wine with him.
I think the one thing that Senator Specter has done tonight is he's clarified a lot more decisively that the Republican Party is going to be the party of lower taxes, less spending, smaller bureaucracy, less power in Washington. And clearly by his leaving to become a liberal Democrat, he has changed the equation clearly because it's pretty hard. It makes the Republican Party a more clearly and significantly conservative party.
Oh, yes, and that's wildly popular
frankly,
with the people, frankly.
Frankly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, frankly.
Frankly.
21% of the American electorate identify themselves as Republicans now. Frankly.
They have a big problem.
Yeah. Gene in Minneapolis on Michelle Bachmann. Hi, Gene.
Hey, I'm Michelle Bachmann. I just want to let you know there's a great website called dumpbachmann.com, and we're not all maroons here in Minnesota.
Of course not. That's why you want to dumpbachmann.com. Okay. All right. Sean Hannity with a little more whining
if
before we go.
If you don't have principles that guide you, and the only reason he did this was for his own self-preservation, you know what? I don't want you. I'm a conservative. I'm a Reagan conservative. And Republicans got themselves into this mess because I think they abandoned conservative principles.
Mm.
I'm not interested in people that have no principles guiding their lives.
Ah.
And that's in that sense, he's betrayed himself and the people of Pennsylvania.
Yeah, you've had Karl Rove on the show.
Yes. You've not gone. Your party has not gone far right enough, Sean. That's exactly it. You keep going. That's a good idea.
Keep kicking
and
the moderates out.
Nominate Nudie as a president. Right.
Yeah. Keep kicking the moderates out, Sean.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're gonna have no party left.
I need go. I don't want you anyway. Go. I never wanted you anyway. I never loved you. I faked all my orgasms. Okay.
Huh? Excuse me?
I don't know.
Were you exercising some personal demons
there?
What?
I don't know
something
what I meant
orgasms?
By that.
What?
He looks, he's like a scorned lover, for God's sake. He whining all night long last night, Sean Hannity. All right. There is the breaking news this morning on the swine flu. We have had our first death here in the United States, a baby in Texas. New swine flu infections were found around the world on Tuesday. The specter of a pandemic hit the travel industry as governments warned people to stay away from Mexico, where 149 people have died thus far.
Mm-hmm.
Number of infections in the U.S. rose to 65. Canada has 13. New cases were also confirmed in Israel and New Zealand yesterday. U.S., Canada, European Union are telling people to avoid non-essential travel to Mexico. And Cuba suspended all flights to and from Mexico for 48 hours.
So did Argentina. Argentina did that this morning.
Okay.
So that,
President
that's number two.
Obama asked Congress for $1.5 billion to finance its response to the flu threat, and California declared a state of emergency.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Allowing it to deploy more resources to prevent new infections. The WHO said a pandemic is not yet inevitable, but that all countries should prepare for the worst, especially especially poor developing nations. Dr. Happy, I call him, Dr. Richard Besser.
Moving forward, though, into the future, vaccine is something that we are looking at very intently. And as I've said before, we're growing up that seed stock of virus so that if we decide to manufacture a vaccine, we are ready to do so.
Yeah, or as Sean Hannity says, we're just looking for another excuse to throw money at something.
Hmm? Now, for liberals, a swine flu outbreak is just another opportunity to play politics. Now, naturally, they accuse Republicans of preventing them from throwing lots of federal money at the problem.
Research on how to fight this thing? Hmm. That's throwing money at a problem?
Yeah.
I wonder if you feel that way if one of your kids got swine flu.
Yeah,
yeah, I see. We're just it's just another socialistic plot. We were hoping for swine flu.
Or, according to Rush Limbaugh, Obama caused the swine flu.
Apparently.
Which are we talking about?
Apparently. That's coming up.
In Tinsel Talk.
In Tinsel Talk.
Well, Teasy McTeaserson.
That's me. federal officials warned that swine flu-related deaths are likely in the U.S. More than, obviously, just today's, as the disease killed scores in Mexico continue to spread across the world. The number of confirmed cases, I don't know exactly today, 65 is the latest I've heard. States and cities, though, are reporting more suspected cases. In New York, the city's health commissioner said many hundreds of school children were ill at school where some students had confirmed cases. Would you like the latest fun facts, by the by?
Are they really fun?
No.
Okay.
No, they're not so fun facts, but they're facts that you should know nonetheless.
Okay.
A lot of the most asked questions, is this a flu pandemic? The influenza virus constantly mutating. Even though the virus makes us sick, our immune systems can usually muster enough of a response, so the flu is rarely fatal for healthy people. But every once in a while, the virus shifts its genetic structure so that much of our immune systems offers no protection whatsoever. Mm-hmm. That usually happens when a flu virus is found in animals like this is. It swaps genes with other viruses and jumps to human beings. A flu pandemic occurs when a new flu virus emerges for which humans have little or no immunity and then spreads easily from person to person around the world. The WHO, as you know, has the responsibility of declaring when a new flu pandemic is underway. Both Pete Townsend and Roger Daltrey. Yes, they both have to agree. What will happen
if the other two are dead?
Yes.
So they can't agree or
so
not?
Keith Moon has no say anymore.
Yeah.
Or John Entwistle.
You
didn't know that the bass player was
in
the
Of course I did. What will happen if this outbreak gets classified as a pandemic? Moving the world to a pandemic phase 4 would be a signal for serious containment actions to be taken on the national and international level, given that these actions would have major implications for the global economy, not to mention the effects of the public fear that would ensue. There is concern that the WHO may be considering politics along with science. What the WHO did makes no sense, said one scientist. In a potential pandemic, you need to have the WHO be beyond question. And April 25th, not a good day for them. Some people think that was political, what the WHO did. It's the World Health Organization, Jim. Stop it. This is serious. Why have the U.S. cases been so much milder than the ones in Mexico? I asked the smart lady from CNN that, the chief medical correspondent. She said that was the smartest question ever.
And she didn't know.
No. Some of the difference, though, may be due to the fact that Mexico has apparently been grappling with swine flu for weeks longer than the U.S. So, that's good news.
The first cases were probably back in February.
Mm-hmm. How ready is the U.S. and the world to respond to a flu pandemic? In some ways, the world is better prepared for a flu pandemic today than it has ever been, thanks to concerns over the avian flu. The WHO, the U.S., and countries around the world have stockpiled millions of doses of antivirals and could help fight swine flu as well as other strains of influenza. Also, when they compare it to other pandemics, we obviously didn't have the advances we had in the vaccines, like 1918 and,
Whatever.
How scared should we be? That depends on who you ask. Officials at the CDC and the WHO have emphasized that while the swine flu situation is serious, they're responding with an abundance of precaution. Even a skeptical scientist gives the CDC a 9 out of 10 for its response thus far.
In other words, the WHO don't want you to die before you get old.
Exactly. Thank you, Jim. That's the best WHO joke ever.
That is. That was
so
funny.
Obvious. Just been sitting there.
I'm surprised we didn't hip-check each other to get to
that
one.
Yeah, come on.
All right. So, that's the big news, is the Obama administration, even according to outside experts, out ahead of this one, abundance of caution, pre-planning, check into it. Something new for us after 8 years of the Bush administration and Hurricane Katrina.
Whatever.
And the Flavin. All right. 57 minutes after the hour, comedian Hal Sparks, the wildly popular Hal Sparks, will be here in studio with us all hour. We have Tinsel Talk. You'll never believe which pill-popping talk show host has blamed President Obama for the outbreak of swine flu. Hmm. Oh, I guess we already gave that away.
Oops.
Yeah.
All right. Tinsel Talk, Hal Sparks, and much more on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere, stephaniemiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lavoie, voice deity Jim Ward, and me, Stephanie Miller. Oh, good news. We have a Health and Human Services Secretary finally in the middle of the swine flu near pandemic. Senator Mark Warner yesterday.
It is essential for the health of the nation that President Obama has in place and the nation has in place a strong Secretary of Health and Human Services to make sure that our federal efforts on this potential pandemic are ably coordinated. One more reason why it is critical that this body move quickly to confirm the nomination of Governor Sebelius.
Yay for us, yay for President Obama. And Papa Obama's got a brand new bag of Democrats in the Senate with the defection of Arlen Specter.
Arlen Specter is now the Democratic senator from Pennsylvania.
Senator Arlen Specter, longtime Republican, said he will and is becoming a Democrat.
Found myself increasingly at odds with the Republican philosophy and more in line with the philosophy of the Democratic Party.
We're thrilled to have you. That's what President Obama said.
Once Al Franken is finally seated, he will become the 60th senator caucus with the Democrats, the filibuster-proof majority, and that may be only the start of the ramifications.
This was simply nothing more, nothing less than political self-preservation.
This is not a national story. This is a Pennsylvania story.
Was that Alf earlier?
We're thrilled to have you. Where's that cat?
You know, there's only one thing that can make this party better. What? Oh, is it? Oh, look, everybody. It's comedian Hal Sparks.
Yay! Hey! Oh, that's great. I didn't even get to ring the bell. I was already...
Yeah, what happened to the bell? Who is it, Chris?
It's still out here.
Oh, hi, Hal.
Hi, how are you? I don't actually, I'm so
Dave,
familiar now.
Dave's not here.
Yeah. Dave's not here, man. I don't even knock anymore. I just kind of look over the fence and, you know, run around your backyard with my pants off. It's fun. It's a great.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's lovely to be here. Too bad there's nothing to talk about.
Yeah, nothing going
really
on in the world.
Going on. Yeah, right.
You're going to be at the Improv out here in L.A.
It's true. I'm at the Irvine Improv tonight and the Melrose Improv on Friday. Go figure.
Wow. And here is
Stephanie Miller.
Absolutely free right now for the whole rest
exactly,
of the hour.
Exactly, right. Yeah, while driving. yeah, it's kind of an amazing... Arlen Specter, do you think it's going to be 61 with Olympia Snow? I think it's going to be 61.
Oh, you think she's going to actually officially defect?
I would.
She's making noises yesterday.
Well, since the Republican Party is really, you know, the bat-ass crazy party now, they're really narrowing out so much that I don't actually think that, I think they're going to squeeze anybody. Now they're just
Well, I mean, a lot of Republicans, we were saying, keep going. They keep insulting the moderates in your party.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It reminds me of, when we disbanded the Iraqi army. It's get out and take your guns. Screw you.
Yeah, and your tanks and your bombs or whatever. We don't need you and your expertise.
Sure, go ahead, raid the weapons dump.
Right,
we don't care.
Right. Take the art while you're at it. I don't care. Oh, yeah, bags of cash. Knock yourself out. I don't need you. Just go. Who cares?
Yeah, Sean Hannity was whining like a spurned lover last night.
Which is not good for him because, quite frankly, he does look like a grown-up member of the Little Rascals. Yeah. And there's an element of... There's a problem with that in the elements of the Republican Party. There's a big portion of them that all do look like our gang. Uh-huh. All grown-up and
spanky,
puffy and fat or whatever. And there's an element of... especially with Sean Hannity. He's the last kind of Tucker Carlson bow tie type where he's like, my mommy does my hair every day. You know what I mean? He's never adapted ever to anything. It's just
that does look like mom spit holding those hairdos together.
Every morning. Now, you go out there and you tell those people how to be. And, you know, obviously she's a corpse in a chair, you know, that he hears only, you know, in his head.
No, anyone mother, that's, fly, no, no.
Right.
Anyone that's ever, give me cut 19 again. Yeah, anyone that's ever... ever gotten broken up with, recognize I didn't want you anyway because if you
don't have principles that guide you, and the only reason he did this was for his own self-preservation.
Yeah.
You know what, I don't want you. I'm a conservative. Conservative.
No.
And Republicans got themselves into this mess because I think they abandoned conservative principles. I'm not interested in people that have no principles guiding their lives.
Yeah.
And that's in that sense, he's betrayed himself and the people of Pennsylvania.
You know what, I'm leaving you.
You're
the other way around.
Yeah, not
right.
Even me.
You can't fire me. I quit.
Basically.
Yeah.
You know.
I don't need friends like you anymore. I have friends. I have my stuffed animal. And my...
Yeah, it's like right now they really are in panic mode.
Yeah.
Because they become, you know, they're really now just the party of Glenn Beck, weepy, crazy.
It's the weepy, crazy party.
Shouldn't we
it's the party
think
of torture.
About closing the borders now? I mean, isn't it common sense to build a plastic dome over the United States that has some sort of anti-French repellent on the side? Doesn't that make sense?
By the way, I noticed that Sean Hannity, though a Reagan Republican, didn't quote Reagan on how we should prosecute torturers no matter where they are in the world.
Exactly.
And they should be extradited.
I'm a Reagan Republican in that I believe in running people like Reagan and George W. Bush who are basically puppets to the CIA contractors and other people who've moved their way up to the ranks, the George Bushes, seniors of the world. You know, let's fucking run a puppety, sweet looking nice guy. Oh, you just want to hug Reagan. That's why I'm a Reagan Republican, because he has hair like mine.
All right.
I think he voted on part.
Exactly.
That's what I like. What do you like, Reagan? He has the same part as me.
Hey, Hal Sparks, you're a Hollywood guy. How about some Hollywood news for you?
Okay.
Oh, what a segue.
There's no business like show business.
It's time for Tinsel Talk. Let's find out what's going on in Hollywood with Stephanie Miller.
Thank you, Jim. All hail Queen Segway. Thank you. Thank you. It's about time I got the respect that I'm entitled to. The Supreme Court upheld a U.S. government crackdown on profanity on television, a policy that subjects broadcasters to fines for airing a single expletive blurted out on a live show.
Well, screw that.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
That, in fact. The case stemmed from an FCC decision in 2006 that found Fox violated decency rules when singer Cher blurted out an expletive during the 2002 Billboard Music Awards, and actress Nicole Richie used two expletives during the 2003 awards. And I think Bono was in there as well.
Let's not forget Shepard Smith recently.
Yes. Oh, thank you.
Yeah, who dropped the F-bomb in regard to torture.
Right.
Yeah.
Justin,
which just made me like him, actually.
Justice Scalia referred to the latter two as, quote, foul-mouthed glitterati from Hollywood.
Oh, God.
And let slip, or perhaps purposely said variations of what Scalia called the F and the S words. We have the rest of Scalia's thoughts, I believe.
You're going to wear out the bleep button on this one, okay.
Yeah, listen up, you common suckers. From here on out, this is not going to stop, or you will rip your heads off and stuff them up your holes. You dumb expect that we're going to sit there for this bull? Well, you got another thing coming, you understand? How are the kids supposed to watch the TV when there's all this cursing going on all the time? And if someone isn't saying... They're dropping trowel, opening up the shirts, and showing us what should be f***ing undercover. We're f***ing sick of it. From now on, your mouths are going to be clean as a f***ing whistle. Like, believe me, the whole it's going to be you miserable, sucking, eating ass sons of bitches. We'll poke your eyes out and scalp you.
Oh.
We'll tear your f***ing head off and down your neck. You got that, you mooks.
Okay.
I hope so. I hate poking my in some low class, just, you know, slumming. And by the way,
you know what the funny thing is? That Scalia opinion had nothing to do with the FCC case. That was just on the rights of school children to have lunches.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right. Thank you, Hal Sparks.
He views that as unnecessary government control over the intestinal organs of children.
And
so,
ironically, what does FCC spell?
Right.
All right. And finally.
Well, in Poland, it's a last name. I mean, yeah, it's, right. they just swap in any kind of number it's of like, ver, you know, right, vowels.
A lot
in
of
there.
Invisible vowels exactly, and consonants yeah. in the middle of it, right.
And finally, Hal, did you hear that drug-addled gas bag Rush Limbaugh blamed Barack Obama for swine flu? I believe we have that audio somewhere.
Yeah,
I believe we
somewhere.
Have that audio
it's in
somewhere.
There, believe me.
It's in there. Those vegetables are huge.
I'd be cut 23 that we decided for the show.
That's okay.
Mm-hmm. Everywhere Obama is spreading Obamaism, there is a deadly disease taking place, either in the TARP community or in the newspaper business. Obama goes to Mexico, they have an earthquake. Obama goes to Mexico, get pig flu.
Interesting.
Amazing. Rush Limbaugh goes to Georgia, they have an uptick in OxyContin sales. Rush Limbaugh goes to the Caribbean, and they have human trafficking as an issue.
It's weird. Coincidence. Weird.
Yeah. You know, the funny thing about like Rush Limbaugh is he's now taken, they all have to take the Glenn Beck pill. Because
yes.
as popular as Rush Limbaugh is, as much as they literally now they are dovetailing, they're drafting behind Glenn Beck
yeah.
because they actually think that that's the way to go. And he's like the cartoon hey buddy kind of friend to Alex Jones. I like you know we, Jim and I both share the Alex Jones you know interest. We watch the conspiracy theories online and whatnot. But Glenn Beck has now become you know the kind of the cartoon version of that. They're FEMA camps. Does that make sense to you? Do you understand that? Because it would seem to me the common sense thing would be to just, you know, let the disease spread and eliminate the weak. Isn't that?
Common sense thing to do. We kill all Mexicans.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
So
why can't
you?
Who doesn't think about that?
They're all trying
think
to,
about that.
Yeah, right. They're all trying to out-crazy.
Am I the only one?
Oh, no.
We have the rest of the drug-addled gas bags.
No, though. Actually, we have a film strip.
Yes, of course we do.
When writing political comedy, one of the deadliest techniques is hyper-exaggeration of existing traits. Or, in other words, lampooning the object of your derision. Normally, this is effective because most people, even those so deluded as to be on the opposite side of the political spectrum as you, are reasonably normal and possess few characteristics that are out of the ordinary and lend themselves to satire. Yet there are some people who are so enormously buffoonish, so extreme in their mental kinks, and so amazing unashamed of their lunatic style, that even the snarkiest comedy writer is stopped dead in his tracks.
Boom.
Take Rush Limbaugh. Please.
Boom.
This tub of guts, so venal, so cowardly, so very demented, is so unshakably sure of his rectitude, he is now on record as blaming the swine flu on President Obama.
Boom.
The mind boggles, the keyboard falls silent, and one can only gape in amazement, as at a hippo that can fart and tap dance at the same time, while congratulating itself on its artistic refinement. For which great calamity will President Obama have been retroactively responsible next? The extinction of the dinosaurs? The disappearance of the Lindbergh baby? The fact that Rush can't get laid without shelling out ginormous sums of cash and consuming mass quantities of off-market pharmaceuticals? It might be admirable to watch this hyper-developed homunculus take himself for a ride, were it not for the fact that it is just another manifestation of his greed. He wants all the action, both his public persona and the slathering of ridicule it deserves. Back off, Rush, you porcine propagandistic putz. You can't parody someone who is already so absurd as to defy description. Leave the rest of us something to work with. Damn it.
You have to throw in it since it's a film strip. You must have the little beep moment on the record. If I knew it was coming, I would have started with a... the record itself.
That's all for Tinsel Talk. I'm here
you
all week.
You can also wad
friends.
A piece of paper creates a great sound effect of that. And also, it may sound like you're on fire, though.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. It's
confusing those in radio land.
Hal Sparks, also in the role of the AV guy today.
Yes, AV nerd. Yes.
That's a good Glenn Beck, by the way.
Oh, hey. You know, it's really must... freak out TV. I mean,
yeah.
It's just
20 minutes after the hour, back with dueling weeping Glenn Becks and much more as we continue. Hal Sparks live in the studio on The Stephanie Miller Show.
The following program is closed captioned for the thinking impaired.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Comedian Hal Sparks live.
Hello.
In the studio.
How
Kim,
are you?
Kim in San Francisco on the Arlen Specter story. You're on with Hal. Hey, Kim.
Hey, did you guys hear what Arlen said the Republican Party's aim was?
What's that?
They wanted to purify the party. I mean, how Nazi-esque.
Wow, purify.
Well, as they got rid of the lukewarm Republicans, it would purify the Republican Party.
Wow.
Well, that certainly has been his goal. And it kind of does fit in with the Nazi meme we were talking about during the break, is that Arlen Specter has joined another group of Republicans or Democrats who are leaning independents who look like they stared into the Ark of the Covenant. Him, Joe Lieberman, John Kerry. There's an element of melty-faced people.
They're melty-faced.
Who are now
it is
springtime for
the Republicans, and that's good for them.
Right.
Pennsylvania.
They're the master party now.
Right.
Anthony in Seattle on swine flu. Hey, Anthony.
Swine flu and career advice for Hal Sparks.
Okay.
Swine flu, you need to really tune in to Lou Dobbs because this is like a great big Christmas gift for Lou Dobbs.
Sure.
He's talking about closing the border.
Oh, geez.
You know, we got to, just shoot him on sight. But as far as Hal Sparks, here's my career advice for you.
Mm-hmm.
Because Jimmy Fallon is not funny and his show is going to tank.
Oh, dear.
It needs to be replaced with the current guy who hosts The Soup, Joel McHale.
Right.
He is hilarious. And then you could go back and host The Soup.
Oh, thanks. But no, that's kind of, A, it's a step backwards. And when I did it, it was 5 days a week. Now they do it once a week, and I could do that in my sleep, quite frankly. And my real job now is to bring comedy in person to people across the country.
Hal Sparks is a quicker. He's too hardworking for those once-a-week gigs.
Also, one last thing. Are you going through your Garth Brooks phase with your hair? He went into that alter ego, remember that?
Oh, yeah, no, the Chris what's-his-name thing. No, actually, I grew my hair out for two films that I did last year, and then I cut it just last week for Locks of Love.
He cut it.
Thank you.
He's back to cute Hal now. Not that you were sexy rock and roll Hal, but now you're like cute Hal again.
Yeah, I know, and this guy definitely approves. He will flip to the back of People magazine, to the people going, thumbs down to Hal's hair. You can tell. So... He was much cuter when he had short hair and he was on The Soup. I don't approve.
All right, let's
of
do
him
our
looking different and being doing different.
Let's do our dueling. Speaking of weepy right wing commentators, let's do our dueling Glenn Becks now. Weeping Glenn Becks.
This whole swine flu thing. Am I crazy or?
Am I crazy or? Should we just, anyone who's had an Egg McMuffin or a Sausage McMuffin, shouldn't they be put in a camp?
Anyone who's been anywhere near a pig.
Doesn't the government really, I had lunch with Rush Limbaugh yesterday. Wouldn't I deserve to be put in some sort of a camp, a FEMA camp?
Shouldn't we nuke all petting zoos?
All right, thank you, boys.
I'm only talking sense here.
I just touched a goat.
All right.
They're the weepy crazy party now.
Yeah. Well, he literally, everyone has to dovetail behind him. I mean, you're in real trouble. I mean, they were always in real trouble when George Bush was their kind of de facto leader. Like, let's follow the C student legacy Yale
guy.
Yeah,
do what you want. I'm on vacation.
Yeah, right. Nappy dude. Meanwhile, now they've got this guy who's unhinged, former drug addict, who is now a Mormon. Yes, has converted to Mormonism.
Actually, more news about that as we continue with Hal Sparks live in the studio. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, my God.
Stephanie Miller.
He's a loser.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 33 minutes after the hour. Live in the studio, Hal Sparks, comedian extraordinaire. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number.
And it's actually a verb. He does spark.
Yes, I do. It is. Yes, it's nice to have a name that is both a verb and a noun, and your first name to anyone whose English is their second language sounds like hell. unless you're Hungarian, which, of course, it means fish.
Paul in Minnesota, you're on with Hal Sparks.
Yeah, no, you know that Hannity sound that you guys played earlier? Need you guys to save that for the next time he talks about Norm Coleman, as he was the Democratic mayor of St. Paul.
Absolutely.
Campaigned for Clinton and Wellstone in the 90s, and then in 2000 campaigns for Bush and runs against Wellstone in 02.
Gosh, that sounds like a suspicious lack of core principles.
Well, where would that come from? And but his argument will and shall always be that he gets a get out of Frank and free pass, because anything, no matter, any Benedict Arnold is better than Franken, who's, a danger to them, because he thinks things through, and that gives them a nosebleed.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I can't have a substantive argumentative conversation with someone. I just have vitriol and hyperbole. These are my two only weapons. These limp, floppy swords that I waggle at you and hope you run away thinking they're dangerous. It doesn't work on someone who goes, "You're attacking me with a cold hot dog." Like, I'm not scared. I actually have a tank. Can't do that. That's not fair.
As we often say, our friends on the right say nuance is gay in French.
Yes, exactly.
That's
G-E-I-Y gay, which is how the kids now spell gay when they mean the derogatory gay and not the homosexual gay.
Okay.
Really? That's true. Kids are now, when they text the word, like, "That is so gay, that hat is so gay," so it's not to offend their gay friends, because that's how, that generation is coming up just totally way more. They spell it G-I-I-Y. Yeah, G-E-I-Y, gay.
Are you sure it's not just one of those Blackberries that corrects you and it's not what you meant to say?
Exactly.
No, I didn't mean to.
No, I don't want to.
All right.
Your puppy.
You, speaking of issues that that involve some sort of nuance, you wrote a piece on torture on the Huffington Post.
Yeah, it'll be up either today or tomorrow. I'm hoping it's... basically, my argument has been with the whole torture debate is that it's totally off in the corner. It reminds me a little bit of when Miss California said that she only supports apathet marriage. Whatever.
What?
Yeah, that's what she said.
What?
She, the argument came out. Everybody on in supportive of her, supportive of, that were anti-gay, knew that the social winds have changed.
Right.
They know that the ground has shifted underneath them, and they can't make the argument against it anymore. I mean, for Iowa, for God's sake, is now the word. So what they changed it to was, she has the right to say what she wants.
Right.
She gets points for speaking her heart, no matter how
not enough
black
to win,
and empty.
Yes.
Right, exactly. But so the point was is that they changed the argument. And that really gave me perspective on the torture argument, that they keep bringing up how many times you have to hear that when you torture, you get BS information. They'll tell you whatever you want to hear just to get the pain to stop.
Right.
They said that over and over. CIA operatives have said it. Donald Rumsfeld even said it. John McCain has said it. And I realized at some point that Dick Cheney was listening to CIA guys go, "You don't understand, we get crap when we torture these guys. They'll say whatever we want them to say." And Dick Cheney went, "Wait a second, that's a great idea. That's brilliant. I've been trying to force this Al-Qaeda rack link forever. Start beating that out of somebody, really." Yeah. And they started giving these interrogators, these contractors, directives.
Yep.
Find a link between Iraq and Al-Qaeda. And then suddenly we had one that was based on human intelligence, and we've got to, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed has given us most of the information over the last 4 years. Meanwhile, the CIA guys were saying that he was, I can't say it on the air, because they used some rather colorful CIA language.
Yes.
But basically that he was shoveling manure their direction just to get them to stop.
Right.
And making stuff up just to toy with them, because he was kind of at a suicide bomber mentality.
By the way, may I say one thing that is lost on the radio is how creepy the visual impression of Dick Cheney is that Hal Sparks is currently.
It's somewhere between, what Vader would look like under the mask and Bell's palsy.
Vader in the mask was Ray Milland with a harmonica rack.
That's true. Yeah. Yes, exactly. Yeah. Everybody must get Vader.
All right. We mentioned Rush Limbaugh earlier, who he has blamed the president for swine flu. His new pet project, apparently he's done some spots for the Humane Society, which has made the gun owners of America
very angry.
Yes.
Meanwhile, if you watch any Chuck Norris movie, pre-1994, I suppose. Were there movies after it? I don't know. Anyways, pre-1994, one of the big scenes that you'll constantly have is somebody shot my dog. Like, the minute you, any redneck dude, if anybody hurts your dog, anybody shoots your dog, that's the turning point in the movie. Like, Lone Wolf McQuaid, they beat up, they kidnapped his daughter and shot her boyfriend, but when they killed his dog, that's when he punched the ground and, wah, 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 you know.
Sometimes I just go berserk.
Right, and that's, there's,
he just did a spot for the anti-dog fighting.
Exactly.
Who's for Michael Vick? Like,
well, yeah, these guys.
But now they think that's going to, now he's going to, they're going to ban hunting and fishing and whatever.
Of course, because that's the natural slippery slope. Anybody
yes.
who's not for shooting a cat in the face with a high-powered assault weapon is definitely going to kind of try to kick down your door because you want to go quail hunting in the spring with your old man. Like, that's, there's totally a linkage.
Right.
I totally understand that. You can't, look, anybody who tries to, the harming of anything limits my ability to own an anti-tank weapon or an anti-helicopter Stinger missile.
If you stop eating veal, the government's going to take my guns away.
How do you think jerky is made? With a bazooka. You don't think we shred that meat by hand, do you? That's what it comes that way.
You Ken in Cleveland here on with Hal Sparks. Hey, Ken.
Oh, awesome show today, everybody.
Are you for shooting a cat in the face with a locked rocket launcher?
No, but, you know, I am for sports ball.
Sports ball?
Yeah, Hal came through Cleveland a while ago, and my wife went to see the show, and she told me all about how much you like sports ball.
Oh, you mean paintball?
No. Sports ball being a generic term for guys that really
yes.
don't get into sports.
Right, exactly.
And,
yeah, just randomly making up facts to try and fit in. Hey guys, yeah, me too. Oh, totally. Yeah, he can dribble and shoot and pass and dunk with the best of them.
Did you see that game?
Yeah, right. You saw that game with that guy should have bunted.
You know,
from the free throw line. He
yeah.
should have, you know.
You know, when people ask me who I'm rooting for, I always have to say, oh, you know, the good guys.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
All right, great show.
All right, thank you, honey.
Yeah.
All right. So, swine flu, they're starting work on the vaccine, you'll be happy to know.
I have been. I've been working on the vaccine myself.
How's about this? It'll take maybe 5 or 6 months, though, before it's available.
And it will have mutated by then.
Right.
So here's the thing.
Yeah.
It's a health and containment issue. It's, you know,
yeah.
period. Wash your hands. Don't touch your eyes and your nose. Watch your doorknobs, that kind of stuff. And don't go to Mexico and have a pulled pork sandwich next to someone who's coughing into a rag.
Yeah.
This health fun fact brought to you.
Oh, we're in L.A.
Yeah, right. Exactly. We're totally safe.
Yeah.
That's the one thing about being in a totally isolated, socially retarded environment in Los Angeles. I never meet anyone. How am I supposed to get contagious disease? Meanwhile, people in New York are going, maybe there's something to this L.A. thing.
Yeah, well, no, that's what I was saying, that just because I'm such a loser and I'm like an elderly shut-in, I'm already ahead of the curve.
Absolutely.
Listen,
I've quarantined myself.
I don't touch anybody.
I'm self-quarantined.
Right. People deliver groceries to your door and walk away.
Right, exactly. I already did that.
So the race is on to prepare the vaccine. Health authorities and companies have to make the tricky decision of when or indeed whether to switch capacity from the regular flu shots to the if you go into pandemic flu production, they won't get normal flu shots, according to the WHO. The WHO, once again. I don't know if
yeah!
you... It's the World Health Organization.
Sure. Well, you should play the CSI thing, since it's sort of semi-related to the, you know.
So here's the problem. Back in 1976, this happened, and the problem is a lot of times the vaccine can kill you, so they need to be careful about that.
Yeah, I'm going to take a strain of a disease we don't really understand yet, cut off a chunk of it and inject it in you and see what happens.
Thank you, Dr. Mengele.
Yeah, exactly. It's a brilliant idea. Isn't that how we came up with this disease in the first place, which is two parts pig, one part bird, one part human?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
There was tons of lawsuits. I think, 30 people died back in 76 from the, they got a neurological disorder.
And according to Michelle Bachmann, it was Jimmy Carter's fault.
Exactly.
Yes. Yeah. Except that it was under Gerald Ford.
Under Gerald Ford, right, who was a Republican
yes.
president. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Our long national nightmare has just started again.
Arlen Specter. 1 degree of Arlen Specter separation. All right, 42 minutes after the hour. Back with the confirmation of Kathleen Sebelius and much more. Comedian Hal Sparks live in the studio with us on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, my God, I am already having a fantastic time.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 47 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Comedian Hal Sparks,
woo-hoo!
Live in the
Hello.
Studio with us. If you are here in the Los Angeles area, he
it's
will be.
It's true. At the Irvine Improv tonight, and then at the Melrose Improv on Melrose and near Kristen Heights on Friday, May 1st. Lovely.
And he is, as you can tell, wildly funny and
it's
really
true.
Cute.
It's true.
I got you, kid.
Thanks.
And I got his short hair as well.
less to grab, but, you know, more Greco-Roman now. It's good, you know. You just oil me up entirely, and just the fun will fly.
Now, well, last time you were here, we had. Can I have my nostalgia music? We told some showbiz nostalgia stories, such as when you were on my show, my game show. I've got a secret. We were told to cool it with each other because there were children watching.
We were fondling too much. Yeah, I was all up in your grill.
We were acting really slow.
And the nice thing is, on the radio, I can be all up in your grill during the breaks, and nobody, you know, stops
me. You were just
me.
Pawing me, and I appreciate it. So much.
You're lovely to paw. I mean, believe me, this, and I'm not the only one who thinks so. You're a little bit dizzy there, Dame. You got a nice set of getaway sticks on you. And
Oh, hell. Blink, blink. No, but you know what? You forgot to tell this story last time. You have to tell it. I didn't realize that I had met you previously.
Oh, yes.
The story.
You had a talk show.
Yes, I had the disastrous 1995 Stephanie Miller show.
Yes.
The late night show.
And I auditioned to be your musical...
Guy,
whatever, yeah, to play,
Paul,
you know,
Schaefer.
Your Paul Schaefer,
yes.
As it were. And it was done at a warehouse just down the street from where we are right now in this, you know, studio. And I brought all my music gear down, so I had, like, a keyboard and a MIDI setup. This was in 95 when all this was, you couldn't do this with just a laptop and a guitar. And I had all this crap I'd rolled in. And the electrical system in the warehouse where you were holding the auditions was so bad that it shorted out my gear.
Oh,
and
That
audition ended up costing me, like... I think $2,500 like in new
gear. The Stephanie Miller Show was a disaster before it even got on the air.
Yeah.
And disastrous to anyone that touched it.
Exactly. it was good. And then, you know, and that time, the first time we met, I had hair down to my butt. That was, you know, I was long hair and, you know, much less buff than I am now.
Sorry you didn't get the job, but think how much worse your life would have gone. You wouldn't have gone on to the huge success you did
had you
touched it more.
See, both had to, you know, divide and conquer. We had to spread away from that part of entertainment so that we could help.
Sorry about the
Obama get elected and change the world.
All right. Sorry about the I don't know you the $2,500.
No, okay, not at all. I mean, that gear's not even worth that now anyway.
Okay,
it's ridiculous. You know what I mean?
Okay.
It's just coal firing. I think it ran on, it was a steam induction MIDI device.
All right. So Kansas Governor Kathleen Sebelius won Senate confirmation. Finally. Because we got us a near pandemic going on, you know. Chris Dodd said we find ourselves in the midst of a global crisis. What we've been missing in all of this is the head of the Health and Human Services Department. Which, by the way, she is pro-life. I don't know if you know this personally.
Yeah, God forbid.
It's just she thinks something crazy like a woman's right to choose. It's the law of the land. Mm-hmm. So in various legal situations, she has felt
but
that certain things wouldn't.
But in the defense of the Republicans, I think Michael Steele said it best when he said, you know, in denying her confirmation and in denying $700 million in pandemic funding in the stimulus package, his defense, and I think is a valued one, is how the heck were we supposed to know a pandemic was going to happen? I mean, you can't blame us for not thinking ahead. Because we're just supposed to govern. We're not
hurricanes in the Gulf. That's
When would that ever happen?
Planes into buildings. Nobody. How was terrorists? We don't think ahead like
we
that.
Had 52
we just want to run stuff.
Yeah. Senator Tom Coburn, Republican of Oklahoma.
That's a non-starter with me. Not because I dislike Kathleen Sebelius. Mm-hmm. I think she's a wonderful lady.
Who's going to burn in hell?
But I think she lacks part of the moral clarity. That is required to lead this nation in the future.
Wow.
Yeah. The Senate still hasn't acted on Obama's nominees for Deputy Health and Human Services Secretary or Commissioner of the Food and Drug Administration. Fortunately, that's not important now either in the midst of a pandemic.
No. Right, yeah, food or drugs.
Have some peanut butter.
Yeah, have some pork, peanut butter sandwiches, and lace them with all sorts of untested pharmaceuticals. That's a great idea.
Actually, the Pork Association of America would like everyone to know that you cannot catch swine flu from eating...
Yes,
pork.
No,
we know
but
that.
Don't be downwind from a Smithfield farm.
Yes, but eating pork is just fine.
It is not the consumption of the actual meat itself that will harm you in any way.
No.
You can eat the sausage, you
it's
can eat the meat.
Anywhere near the factory.
It's the other white meat without swine flu.
It's the 600 billion tons of excrement that a pig produces, 100 times more waste than a human being over the course of a year, and then they have no place to put it.
Even more than Rush Limbaugh.
Yes. One, the factory farm in Mexico. actually, that's close to where the pandemic started.
12 miles away.
Produces more waste than all of New York City, just the pig farm itself.
Oh, thank you for that fun fact, Hal.
Yeah.
Smithfield was sued to the tune of $12.3 million, which may be why they moved to Mexico.
Exactly.
Get away from the EPA.
We need to send you to the White House. They need some help from Hollywood. You know that the flyby of the World Trade Center?
Yeah. Somebody needs to explain After Effects and Photoshop to them.
They've never heard of green screen.
Yeah, right.
apparently, they had to update a file photo. They do this. They have the what can be Air Force One if the president's on it in front of landmarks like the Statue of Liberty and the Grand Canyon. But green screen, and it's all. Why do you need to alarm people?
It's the most technologically advanced White House we've ever had. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I think you can get an Obama's 16-year-old on a computer.
We digitally mat my face on myself all the time. I mean,
they mat me on his body.
They've created three other me so I can go and get all this stuff done. Yes. They can't do it.
Where'd you get that Hope poster fund, for God's sake?
Exactly.
The president. Guy with Chavez? Not me.
The president, yes.
It was a mistake, as was stated. It was something we found out about along with all of you, and it will not happen again.
The White House plans an inquiry into the photo op. Robert Gibbs yesterday.
That's why he's asked the Deputy Chief of Staff to undertake a review in order to understand how the decision was made and to ensure that it doesn't happen again.
Here's what I don't get is they told officials in New York.
Right.
I mean,
yeah. The FAA, they said the FAA knew that it would spark outrage and freak people out, but they decided not to talk about it. And he's so busy that I actually buy that he wasn't aware that they were doing it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, he's one of those things, like, he signs probably 1,000 pieces of paper a day, and he's focusing on, he actually reads 99 of them.
One
about the, we need a new picture of Air Force One, whatever.
Whatever. Right.
I actually believe him, whereas Bush was like, would thumb through, let's see, pandemic flu. Oh, here's one about a picture. Can I be on the wing in a flight suit with my Johnson all wrapped up? Like a package. I'll do that one. Let me do that one.
The president was reportedly furious, as was Michael Bloomberg.
I'm annoyed. Furious is a better word that I wasn't told.
I guess they told Bloomberg's office, but nobody in his office.
The mayor, by the way.
It's called the mayor's office, but they decided.
Have planes flying at buildings being chased by fighters.
Right.
Have a problem with that for any reason?
Oh, my God, there's a giant 747 flying into the. Oh, wait, oh, my God, it's followed by. It's Air Force. They've commandeered Air Force One, and they're flying it. Oh, no, never mind.
I'm going to go on.
Harrison Ford is going to.
Right. Oh, exactly.
Wait a minute.
I'm going to go on a limb and say that person.
You're fired.
Right.
Perhaps. Has joined the jobless rolls.
But the problem
today.
Is that's a mistake that 90 people make. You know what I mean? That's a 90-person problem. That's one of those things that just is so soft that nobody really gives it the thought it should have, because we're actually dealing with pretty heavy stuff. So they're like, you deal with it.
Exactly.
Couldn't they put it on the front page of the Times? The New York Times.
Yeah,
at least some people.
Hey, kids.
Aaron in Madison, you're on with Hal Sparks. Hey, Aaron.
Hi. As I told Rebecca, I feel like the outbreak monkey right now.
Why?
I took my first vacation in 6 years. Cancun.
No!
Oh,
no!
I'm sorry. I have to put some sort of shield in front of the microphone and the headphones. I have to dip them in
I need to put a condom on the microphone now,
exactly,
Aaron.
Exactly right.
Thank you. Thank
I already
you
have one
much.
On my mic. But
no, I feel really good.
Do you feel all right?
I have a cold, so they're sending me to the emergency room to get tested.
Oh.
Wow.
And plane was stopped in, we flew back into Maryland, Wisconsin via Maryland, and in Maryland, the plane, there was a hazmat guy outside, and the paramedics boarded to test some people and mask some people, and the captain came over the thing and goes, please keep your panic to a minimum.
Yeah.
Once it's panic, there's no.
It's like airplane. Assume the crash.
Panic. Yeah. Not minimum.
It's like airplane. Assume the crash position.
And there are not levels of panic. That's the whole point. That's what makes it panic.
Start panicking, but not too much.
Yeah, right, yeah. You know what? Your panic is so pithy. I just love it. When you whip out your panic, I just feel it feels like home. Well, I'm glad you're okay. Yeah, right. I'm glad you're okay right
now. Hal Sparks is going to have a post on torture on the Huffington Post later today. Mm-hmm. Fred Thompson, the electrifying Fred Thompson, he had some thoughts. He said Obama has loosed the dogs of war on the CIA. He said, we're talking about a war crimes tribunal, which this country has never done.
And he should know he was in Predator 2.
this thing will get out of control.
Right.
Get out of control.
Yes, but we've
quickly.
Held other people accountable that have done it to us. He said Harry Truman could have been accused of war crimes, I suppose, for dropping the bombs. President Obama authorized the killing of those three pirates in the Indian Ocean.
down, thanks,
for playing Really Bad Analogy.
Right. So basically, in his same argument, any cop that shoots a perpetrator who's in danger of killing a bystander or another innocent human being is guilty of war crimes. Thank you, Fred Thompson.
All right.
You are a droopy dog-faced weirdo.
Al Sparks is at the Irvine Improv tonight. We will see you tomorrow on The Stephanie Miller Show.